Remember what time of year it was?
I don't.
I think it was in the fall. No, it couldn't have been in the fall. That's improbable.
In spring?
Yeah, it'd probably be June-ish. That would make sense.
Alright. It is currently 2:21 p.m. September 30th. My name is Jingyi, and this story is for the Hear Hear Arboretum Project. So first, introduce yourself. So what is your name and your affiliation with the Arboretum?
My name is Byron Donald Vincent Murray, and I am a fan, I guess, of the Arboretum. I hang out here. I walk through it all the time. I visit a lot. I run through here. I'm working on some projects here with different folks.
All right. So describe, orientate yourself to like where, to like when you saw this, or so to the experience. So describe what you currently see in front of you.
So right now, I guess I see some Queen Anne's lace on the side of the trail here, and then some, looks like walnut and grape, and some taller shrubs behind. A trembling aspen that looks like it's seen better days. And we're on a road facing sort of northwest, and blue skies. It's beautiful. Some crickets are singing.
All right. So what specifically happened here? What story happened here?
One day I was walking through here with my partner, and we were just talking along the way, and I think she may have noticed first the robins were alarming, and the robins were making their alarm calls like doo 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 doo, and I guess she thought to look up and look around, and all of a sudden she went and I thought it was like what, and I looked over, and there was a deer. It looked like a large doe, sort of, if we were facing directly northwest down the trail, it would be sort of like 2 o'clock on the trail to our right. And this doe looked at us and then looked back in front of her, which was also sort of toward the northwest, but she was a ways away that she was looking down into the grass. And the birds were alarming, but it seemed kind of interesting. In retrospect, you realize, you know, the birds wouldn't be alarming at a deer, really. It's nothing to alarm about. But it was interesting, and I think I made a quip about why do we gasp at such a sight. But I think it was a good idea. Like, I hadn't noticed anything. My partner noticed the deer, so it was great that she had noticed it and gasped to get my attention.
Was this the first time that you saw deer in the Arboretum?
It's not the first time. We've seen deer a little bit. If I was heading the opposite direction down the trail towards the Arboretum Center, towards the university campus, I've seen deer, which would be just as you cross college and step into the open grass area. We've hung out with the deer here before. And then on the other side of the oak plantation where all the oaks have been planted, mm-hmm. We've seen deer in there as well. So It's been a couple of times since we've seen the deer here.
So like, why did this memory stand out to you?
Because as we kept going, as we stood here and we watched the deer sort of tucked into the woods, and we thought, wow, that was cool. But the highlight was actually as we kept walking, again, my partner just had a big deep breath and just noticed quickly that a coyote was leaving our trail, like walking in front of us. And as we walked up, I sort of froze. It's not every day you get to see the coyote. You see the deer more commonly. But then a third like really interesting thing happened, and that was that the doe chased the coyote. And conventionally a doe wouldn't chase a coyote. And so we just sort of stood there for a second and then moved on quickly in an effort to maybe like lightly pursue and see what we could see. And we realized after a short period of time, we wouldn't be able to keep up or see them. And we were wondering what had happened. We realized it was probably a calving season, and the doe has was probably protecting one of her fawns.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so the coyote was after possibly a fawn that was hidden. Deer often, in their first year, might have like one fawn, and then subsequent years it's usually twins. Mm-hmm. So what she'll often do is leave one hidden in one spot, leave one hidden in another spot. She'll go feed, come back, feed one fawn, go feed, come back, feed another fawn, and she'll cycle between the two of them. And so my guess is that the coyote crept up on one of them, mm-hmm. and she noticed in time, maybe thanks to the birds alarming.
Oh, that's true. So if deer was common, so was the coyote rare? Like, have you seen coyotes before?
Maybe not rare, but
less often.
I definitely don't see them as commonly mm-hmm. as the deer. I think the deer perhaps feel a bit more comfortable with us than the coyotes do.
So have you visited space often, like, since then?
Oh yeah, yeah. This is my route home if I'm on campus. I like it a lot. Throughout the pandemic, I've been running here on and off, and it's just one of my favorite parts, the arboretum. I find it's not used as much. Maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was a trail that went through here.
Yeah. It's really nice, and there's lots of wildlife. Like, just to our right, there are some white pine trees, and in the winter, you can often track the porcupines as they make their mm-hmm. way from the white pines on our left over to the white pines on our right. And I've just sat with the porcupines while they're chewing on the white pines, and it's really cool.
Oh, porcupines are here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When did the coyote sighting happen?
That probably happened, I would assume, it was a while ago, a couple of years ago, and I'm assuming around June, because mm-hmm. that's usually when they're giving birth.
And so how has the location changed since then? Since when you first saw the coyotes?
Definitely a lot of the scrub and new growth on the side of the trails, at least on the right side of the trail, has grown up a bit more. Perhaps some of the trembling aspens on the right side of the trail have also died back. Definitely a lot of the small oak plantations further down the trail have grown in a little bit thicker and a little bit taller. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what else. Oh, they did cut back some of the American plums right at the entranceway right off college. So some of the trees have been cut back, some of the trees have grown taller.
So, like, would you say that the memory was just meaningful to you, or was it just something that was unusual? Like, would that wise stood out to you?
Both. Unusual and meaningful in the context of, here's a situation that probably happens a lot in nature where a doe has to defend her fawns, possibly. I didn't see the fawn, even though I went and looked. But they're well camouflaged, and the fawn may have moved on their own by then. But it's something you hear about, and you understand how it works, but you don't often get to see. So you get the chance to actually see it all go down, and to see it with my partner, and to hear the alarm calls of the birds, which I've learned a little bit about, but to see it all go down and see the action actually happening, aside from just reading it in a book, mm-hmm. was really momentous, I think, for me.
So let's move on to general questions.
Yeah.
So I'll repeat the question from the beginning. So what is your connection to the Arboretum, and has it changed over time? Or what was your initial connection to the Arboretum?
Possibly my initial connection to the Arboretum was coming here to just learn about trees. And over time, I still come here to learn about trees, but I also come here to track wildlife. I've been working with Dr. Brittany Luby and Kim Anderson on the Milcombs House project that's happening here. I've become friends with some of the staff here, and I've worked with them on two projects, and the relationship to this place as a wilder space in Guelph has deepened, and then also as a social space has been mm-hmm. really, really beneficial over the years, and grown, certainly grown over the years.
So, like, to you, like what you, like, what would you say makes the art room special? Like as a green space or a social space?
Both. Green space for, well, I mean, it all overlaps. Green space for wildlife and humans, and social space for wildlife and humans. You know, like, mm-hmm. the birds congregate here, and they fly overhead. Right now we're in the middle of fall migration, mm-hmm. so that's a big part of it. And as I said before, the deer move through here, and even those relationships, those predator-prey relationships, occur here. They happen here, and it's a necessary part of life. Those relationships in this space makes it possible and allows it to keep going when all sorts of development is happening all around. So.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, what elements of the arboretum to you are the most important to preserve or keep here? Ooh.
I would say the most important thing would probably be the space, as in, like, the space it takes up. The collections could change. The Arboretum Center itself could change or be missing. Research could change and not happen here anymore. And none of that would too much harm the wildlife here, but mm-hmm. if the space decreased and slowly got eaten up by more and more development, then I think that we're already losing so much of wilder spaces for the wildlife to live in and for us to participate in, that it'd be dangerous. I would call it dangerous mm-hmm. for wildlife to lose this. And
so,
for us.
So would you say the space is more important for the wildlife or more important for, like, the community? More important for wildlife?
Maybe I don't want to create a dichotomy.
Maybe I want to say that
mm-hmm. wildlife mm-hmm. and us, all animals, mm-hmm. all species that exist here,
they all benefit from the arboretum?
They all benefit from the arboretum. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's a really neat thing because it's this relationship building that humans are making space for and holding down the space and protecting the space as a gift or as a way of just being in good relationship, mm-hmm. you know, with all the neighbors, all the relations in this area.
Are you from Guelph?
No, I grew up in Brampton, which is
mm-hmm. yes, I know.
13-hour mm-hmm. walk east.
Mm-hmm. 13-hour walk. Did you come here for your undergrad then, or no?
No, I came here. Friends of mine were going to school here, and we wanted to start a punk house here and play music and uh-huh. stuff. So I came to Guelph from. I was living in Toronto for mm-hmm. a year and a half,
and did it work out?
It did. It was a very successful house. We had 8 people in one house, and then we moved and had 16 people in the next house, and had touring bands from all over mm-hmm. the world come and. It was quite exciting.
Oh, what was it called?
The house yes. was called the Punkalo. Because it was the first house was a bungalow full of punks. Mm-hmm. So we named mm-hmm. it the Punkalo. Yeah.
Well, like, I meant to ask that question. Well, like, like, you might know, like, any legends about the arboretum? Like, from when you've, like, gone on walks here, have you, like, heard, like, rumors, whispers of, like, legends in the arboretum?
Not really. I've learned a little bit about the turf grass across the street, mm-hmm. but not so much the history here, only that it was farmland before, mm-hmm. and then I think it's only been 50 years, mm-hmm. and all of this is
It was established in, like, the 1970s.
Great.
So it's been, like, yeah, like, the anniversary was in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like one of the rumors was that, like, polar bears used to live here, or like, polar bears were kept here,
okay.
and seals were also kept here.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard about the seals. Yeah, thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but then they removed later on when, like, the research, like, finished up.
Is that a true thing?
It is a true cool. thing. Wow. Yeah, the polar bear was named Huxley.
Huxley. Great.
And there were a couple seals that were kept in, like, a, they had, like, a seal house or okay. like a pond.
Yeah.
And, like, one time when one of the seals escaped.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. I've also heard that in the Arboretum master list of mammal species that have been found in the Arboretum, they've also included a cow, because a cow once escaped from a nearby field and ended up in the Arboretum. So it's not as exciting as a seal or a polar bear, but to find a cow at the Arboretum.
Wait, like there's a list of mammals found in the Arboretum?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it on the Arboretum site? Or?
I think it's on the Arboretum website, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, this is just a general question, but have you attended any like community events in the Arboretum? That's been part of community outreach.
I've either
as a participant or an organizer.
I've attended workshops. I've attended Bug Day for a couple of times, which is one of my favorites.
What's Bug Day?
Bug Day is a sort of a lot of the zoology students and biology students come and share facts and neat things and allow people to see bugs and insects and arthropods of all sorts and hold them and hang out with them. And that happens usually once a year, and it just passed recently, and it was really fun. And all the other stuff that the Arboretum hosts, the Tree Expo or Arb Expo that happens once a year, is really fun. There have been Nature Guelph hosts their evening workshops series here, and speaker series, which is a lot of fun. Yeah, all sorts of things.
All right. And do you have any other like special memories of the Arboretum that you like to share?
Oh, I don't know. Too many.
No pressure.
Yeah, too many. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so that is the end of the interview.